Hallelujah. That is why I love him so. That is why I love him so. Because he's so real to me. Hallelujah. We honor the Lord. We thank the Lord for all of you coming out and being in the service on this morning. We thank the Lord for our elders and ministers and deacons, to our assistant pastors, Pastor Fly and Pastor Hodge. Amen. To all of our visitors, thank you so much for taking time to come out just to say hey. Amen. We praise the Lord for you. I would like to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 10. We're going to look at verse number 10 through 14. Romans 10, 10 through 14. Now you, for those of you, which is the most of you, was not in Bible class on Tuesday. So those few that was there, we're going to talk about the same thing we talked about in Bible class. Just go a little deeper and go further, if the Lord's will. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now then, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we give you praise and we honor you. Father, we ask, Lord, that you may have your way. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Open us up, O God. Pour into us this day. Father, we ask, Lord, that you may bless the youth that's sitting among us. Touch them, Lord, with your word. Father, strengthen their faith right now in Jesus' name. And we ever give you praise and honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a continuation of our series that we've been involved in. And we just want to talk to you a little bit, bring you up to speed. And then we're going to keep on moving. This is, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus? The importance of faith. That's what I want to talk about, the importance of faith. This part of our series is very important for at least two reasons. Faith cannot be stressed too much. We used to sing a song, faith, 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 just a little more faith. Remember that? You don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Amen. So faith cannot be stressed too much. There is a great need to define the meaning of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear that all the time, but has anyone ever stopped and said, let me explain this? That's what I want to do today. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is a very common religious statement, which is often given without qualification to people who have not studied or what it means and are not sure how to take hold of it and apply it to their lives. In part one and part two of the series, I have brought out step by step how we can, by our acts of faith and obedience, claim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our own lives, accepting Christ's substitutionary sacrifice as our justification. In other words, he was our substitute, and he justified us by dying for us. Having our faith anchored in spiritual truth is very important if we are to arrive at a lasting and fruitful experience with God. It has to be based on the scriptures. We must, as Jesus spoke in Matthew 7, build our house upon the rock. Faith is the basic element that must exist if any mutual relationship is to endure. Even in our secular business, when two men happen to be partners, must have faith in one another. The absence of true of trust and confidence is sure to bring on the eventual downfall of any enterprise. In other words, if you don't trust your partner, it's going to fail. In a marriage, a husband and wife must have faith in one another, because the absence of trust and confidence will destroy the marriage relationship if you don't trust each other. Even a friendship will not last if there is not first trust in one another. So it is not a strange thing at all to say, he that cometh to God must believe. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. A person must exercise faith in reference to salvation. For in salvation, we face a need that we cannot supply within our own selves. In other words, when it comes to salvation, we cannot save ourselves. We have to seek outside intervention. I like that. I could preach that right there. Outside intervention. We need outside intervention. You can't change yourself. You can't make yourself holy. You can't make yourself sanctified. It takes the Holy Ghost to do all of that. Even if you know it and you try, you can't do it because it's not in you. And then the Bible tells us that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, but he demands that we be holy. So we must reach outside ourselves with the trust and the hope that we will be lifted and helped. No kingdom can of itself evolve into a higher kingdom. For example, no matter how fine a particular straw of hay may be cultivated to be, it can never of its own power evolve into a cow. Is hay. The richest and the most fertile soil cannot transform itself into a field of corn without the planting and the germination process of the corn itself. The plant kingdom must reach down into the mineral kingdom and lift up the nitrates, the phosphates, and all the other elements and transform them upward into the plant world. In other words, if you put a plant, the plant cannot survive without the dirt. And I told you on Tuesday, those that were there, that the doctors are saying that the reason that man is so plagued with diseases is because we don't eat enough dirt. We're too clean. Use too many chemicals. Dirt never hurt nobody. You still here. How many ate mud pies? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. My sister used to make me play house with her. And she was always going to cook me a pie made out of mud. It is always the higher kingdom that must do the lifting. We can't go to a lower kingdom to bring us higher. You can't go to a person that don't have the Holy Ghost to instruct you on how to live right. It's beyond their comprehension, because the only thing that they can fall back on is the flesh. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Can't get above it. The new birth is a miracle, and only God can perform it. Only God can. But how can this transition be made from the fleshly kingdom to the spiritual kingdom? So how can we get from flesh to spirit? Well, what is the medium of contact and the communication between the earthly man and the heavenly God? Of course, it is faith. We have to have faith. As we have already considered, faith is the only approach which puts us in contact with God. And this faith comes by hearing the preached word. I want to put a pause right there. When it's time to preach, it ain't time to go back in the vestibule. When it's time to preach, it's not time to get up and go to the bathroom and don't come out until it's over. When it's time to preach, it's not the time to go downstairs in the fellowship hall and hide. When it's time to preach, it's not the time to go upstairs because you're going to find the doors locked. The only way that you're going to have faith, you have to hear the preach word. It's not the time to talk. It's not the time to greet. It's the time to hear. And when you hear, you ought to pray, Lord, open up my spiritual ears that I can hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. I feel like preaching. Faith cometh by hearing the preached word. In the book of Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I'm kind of skipping over the verses. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? If you call on his name, you shall be saved. But how can you call upon him who you have not believed? How shall ye believe? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we say, Lord, I need more faith, what you're saying is that I need more word. Many times the question is asked, why is it that the Holy Ghost is for us today, is not for us today, and that the good people in other churches do not receive it? Of course, some folks are receiving it today. But the reason that so few do receive it is because it is not preached as a gift that can be presently and rapidly received. I don't need to wait a year to receive the Holy Ghost. I don't have to walk with God 20 years and I'm still not saved. I'm not wrestling with the question of whether I can speak in tongues or not. Let me tell you something. I'm not seeking the tongues. I'm seeking the Holy Ghost. The tongues come with the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost, get the tongues. Get the Holy Ghost, get the power. Get the Holy Ghost, get the deliverance. Get the Holy Ghost, get the joy. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Even though Jesus is preached, he is not preached as John the Baptist preached him. John the Baptist preached that he indeed baptized with water. Listen to the distinction that he made. John wasn't trying to be Jesus. He said, there's going to come one greater than me. He's going to come after me. I baptize you in water. But the one that come after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I just want to know, do I have any fire starters here? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote that he was afraid that the Corinthians would turn away from the simplicity that was in Christ. He warned them about someone coming and preaching another Jesus whom he had not preached. The Jesus Paul preached, baptized with the Holy Ghost. I believe that we have gotten emphasis off of the Holy Ghost. We put emphasis on being a part of a sorority, a part of the club. I'm a part of Grace New Covenant's club. No, 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 no. Grace News Covenant Club won't get you nowhere. You have very few benefits and nothing eternal. The problem is today, many preachers today do not preach the Jesus who baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And consequently, the scripture rings true. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? I was talking to a gentleman last week, and he said that he was sitting up on a preacher for 7 years. He stayed there. And never in those 7 years did the pastor open the Bible. Never in those 7 years did he preach a scripture. He talked about how Granny's banana pudding taste versus the recipe he got offline. And he went into depth. That's what he was telling me. And I told him I would have got up, I would have got my stuff and left. The Bible talked about packing your stuff. I would have packed my stuff and got up. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is important that we believe according to truth. That's why it's important that we have to read the Bible for ourselves. Don't depend on nobody giving you the truth. Look it up for yourself. We look up everything else. Somebody looking up whether I'm telling the truth right now. Is Pastor Fly telling the truth? And Google will say, uh-huh. Or Google might say, I'm an Android, I don't know. There are many who have believed, but have believed in vain. In John 7, Jesus spoke of believing upon him as the scripture have said. See, now, let me tell you this. People add to your job description. They add stuff. You get 5 points. Here's what you're supposed to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If people jump down to 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and they ain't even doing the 1 to 5. So many times we expect Jesus to do what he didn't say he would do. We just put it all on him, all by himself, and like we don't have any responsibility. If I want to live holy, then I have some responsibility. If I want to be saved, then I have some responsibility. As the scripture has said, not as man. Notice the method of the apostles in Acts 16, verses 30 to 34, in getting people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, it is an account of the imprisonment of Paul and Silas. They prayed at midnight, and the earthquake which freed them. Beginning with the 27th verse is the account of the fear-stricken jailer, or the jail keeper, who would have killed himself had Paul not assured him that everybody was still there. Trembling with fear, he fell to his feet and imploringly asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen, this man, if he had to let those prisoners escape, it would have cost him his head. He would have killed himself before he had his head cut off. So he was going to kill himself, but Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." All of those that was in jail. Now, I told him on Tuesday, if it had been me, Paul would have said, "All are here except Gregory." Because when the jail opened, I would have opened up running. So since they didn't go anywhere, can you imagine that the jail opened up to deliver you and you say, "I ain't going"? This heathen jail keeper asked the question that demanded an answer. The answer given him was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." While this was the correct answer, our knowledge of the scripture and reason would immediately teach us that believing would have to be explained to this man who had never in his life heard the gospel sermon. It may have been that he had never heard of Jesus Christ. How shall they believe on him of whom they had not heard? So just because it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, we have to explain that thing. The man needed faith planted in his heart before he could believe. You just can't assume that people know how to believe, because I didn't know how to believe. They were singing a song, if you die now, you don't have to die no more. It took me a long time to figure that one out. I was too embarrassed to ask anyone because I felt I was the only one that didn't know, because everybody was getting happy. If I die now, I don't have to die no more. I wanted to know how could I didn't have to die no more. I know. I was the only one in there that slow. This man needed faith planted in his heart before he could believe. Jesus said that this faith must be according to the scriptures. So in verse 32, it is stated, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. What did they speak? They didn't speak their opinion. They didn't speak what they thought. They didn't speak what they heard. They spoke the word of the Lord. Now, I want to ask a question. How can you speak to someone the word of the Lord when you spend no time in it? You don't come to Bible class. You don't come to Sunday morning class. You don't come to the institute. You don't come to nothing. You come to hear the preached word and you all of a sudden are an expert. I want you to know, to be an expert in the word, you got to spend some time in the word and some time in prayer. So the best you can do when someone asks you is give your testimony. And that's more than some know. Don't tell us. We know it. When Paul got through talking to this man, his whole house, this spiritually unlearned man had to be taught the terms of the gospel. This man who had never heard a gospel sermon was taught by the Apostle Paul what it means to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul and Silas took him and his family and taught them the word of the Lord. When they taught this jailkeeper, it led to repentance. Now, this is his act of repentance. And he took them, the jailer, took Paul and Silas that same hour and washed their stripes, whom they put on him. This shows us expressed his sorrow and showed his willingness to make things as right as he could possibly make it. This word, which taught this man about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, led to baptism. And as baptized, he and all his straightway. This correspondence with Jesus Christ is statement in John 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It is impossible to separate faith and baptism as it is faith and works. Faith without works is dead. Is that right? It's dead. Baptism is not merely works, but it is an act of faith itself. It is a demonstration of the faith a candidate has in the terms of the gospel. So when I get baptized, yes, there's some things that happen in the water, but there's something that I do myself. When I get up to get baptized, I'm saying that I agree with the word. Now, some theologians will tell you that when you get baptized, that it goes along with the natural birth, because in the natural birth, there's water. Is that right? Some babies get in trouble because the water breaks too soon. There has to be water. Birth and water goes together. So in the new birth, we are baptized. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6 that the old man is crucified with him. That old man is destroyed. That when we come up walking as a new man in the newness of life. Just like when a child is born, it comes forth to walk in the newness of life. They come forth walking in a new life. We even call them a new life. Is that right? According to apostolic teaching, it was a part of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What they taught about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ led this man and his house, his family, being filled with the Holy Ghost and rejoice believing in God with all his house. While the scripture here is silent as far as the jailkeeper receiving the Holy Ghost, think back according to the scriptures what happened when a person believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Now here's the word. Here's the word that cannot be undone. His word is forever settled in heaven. Listen to him. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. Now, when we say that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scripture. And as we believe on the Lord according to the scripture, whatever the scripture say will happen when we come in agreement in belief with it. This is a plain and strong promise. The declaration of Christ is that when people believe on him, as the scripture teaches, they will receive the Holy Ghost in a rushing river-like experience. If anybody ever received the Holy Ghost, you know it wasn't a subtle thing. You just didn't happen to get it. And I told him on Tuesday, I've never seen somebody get the Holy Ghost, really get it, and get up and say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, I think I'm going to shout, praise the Lord. No, 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 no. Even when the Lord land on you. You in the midst of a service. And the Holy Ghost happened to land on you. You ain't got it. It's just landing on you. You don't sit there. It's not even in you. It's just on you. The Bible tells us that it comes a time where the Holy Ghost will not just be with us, but it shall be in us. I in you and you in me. In Mark 16, Jesus again relates to us that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ produces within the believer an energetic and an active experience. Among several signs which he states would follow them that believe was they shall speak with new tongues. Now, if you had been here on Tuesday, I told you the rest of the things that they was going to do when they had the Spirit. But I want to talk about those new tongues. Jesus indicated 10 days before his ascension into heaven that each time a person was baptized and believed in him, a particular sign would miraculously be manifest in that person's life. And what is that? They shall speak with a new tongue. So now when we look at new tongues, I know that it's speaking in other tongues, but it's also speaking a new tongue in your natural tongue. Or should I say in your native tongue? How many, when you got the Holy Ghost, even after you got through speaking in an unknown tongue and in other tongues, your real tongue changed too? And the benefit of being nice, you stop calling people out their name. You stop adding adjectives to them. Just speak with a new tongue. See, I can't afford to keep speaking in my negative tongue And in that old tongue that cursed people out, in that old tongue that's talking about and dragging folk down, and then turn around and give it to God and shout hallelujah. If I'm going to let the Lord use me, if I believe I am a believer. So since I am a believer, I believe what the word says, and the things that he said he will do, he will do. So if you are a believer, then the sign is you have the Holy Ghost. Say, these signs should follow them that believe. And belief is having the Holy Ghost. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the scripture has said, listen to me. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the scripture has said, then it's a promise, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost that was not yet given. A little thought would lead to several, would lead us to this arrangement. It's both needful and reasonable. Who can correctly gauge the depth of the thinking process? Who can know and judge the human heart? Surely this must be left to God, since he alone knows the mental and the spiritual process. Some of us need to move back and say, Lord, process me. Process me. When you go to get help, you go to the Family Jobs and Services. You've never been there. They ask you, have you ever been here before? At least, I haven't been there, but I would think this is the way they would do it. They do it like this every place else. Have you ever been here before? You tell them no. Then they want to know your phone number or your social security number. Well, they don't ask for the whole thing now because most people don't know their whole number. All they know is the last four digits. When I was coming up, see, here we go again. There's an age thing. When I was coming up, you had to know the whole thing. Now all you have to know is the last four digits. I've been trying to figure out, if I give them the last four, how they going to figure out what the other ones are. But they know. And if mine is 1, 2, 3, 4, isn't somebody else's 1, 2, 3, 4? No. Who knows the heart or the mind no more than God? For God designed it. So a sign which automatically accompanies saving faith is safe, assuring, and conclusive. The sign of tongues is to bear witness both to the recipient and to the unbeliever. So when we're speaking in tongues, we're speaking for ourselves and for the unbeliever. Because let me tell you something. You might think you got everybody fooled that you got the Holy Ghost, but somebody know you ain't got nothing. Or maybe I shouldn't put it so harsh. Some people know you don't have anything. Because there are certain things that come with a person that have the Holy Ghost. They actually care what the word says. They actually care about giving God what's due him. Oh, the benefits are innumerable as to what God can do with you if you are in him and his word abideth in you. See, because when certain things come up, you be expecting the Holy Ghost to tackle you. The Holy Ghost ain't on defense. He don't have on no pads. He don't have on no helmet. He don't work like that. What the Holy Ghost is going to do is he's going to look within you and rehearse that word that you put in you. For the Holy Ghost shall bring all things back to your remembrance. But if you don't have nothing to grasp on, there's nothing to bring back. And when the mind is not able to bring back anything, it conjures up its own. Where thou shalt itch, thou shalt scratch. Oh, it's in the word. No, it ain't. I don't care about you itching. Scratch. It comes instinctive. Nope, listen. When the back of your hand itch, who taught you how to scratch it? Nobody. You figured it out. No, we make up stuff and, well, listen, no, it ain't. I told someone one time, I said, you know, Proverbs is a book of sayings. A book of sayings. And then I had the audacity to tell them that Job was probably the oldest book in the Bible. And they're going to argue me down. It's Genesis. All right. The first people to receive the Holy Ghost in the New Testament church era were the 120 on the day of Pentecost. And how did they receive the Holy Ghost? Peter referred to this great experience at Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fell on them as it was on us at the beginning. Who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Peter, when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they received the Holy Ghost. He was referring to Cornelius, just as it did on the day of Pentecost. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so somebody might say, well, I want the Holy Ghost. What's the first step? Well, you know what? You got to repent of your sins. I talked about that. You have to be baptized. I talked about that. But more than all of that, you first must have faith that all this can happen. And then when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe, I'm telling you, belief is a powerful weapon. When you believe, because when you believe, you can call things out of the word. You can remind God of his word because, Lord, I'm standing in belief of your word, that you are a man of your word and that you will never go contrary to your word. And your word said, if I believe on you, as the scripture have said, then out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, I'm waiting for the living water. And those that are praying with people, you have to believe the same thing. You can't pray for people and then hope they get healed. You should have an expectation because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For they shall, he said, these signs shall follow them. One of those signs is that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, I know people get old and die. I know that. I know that we have expiration dates. But the enemy don't wait for your expiration date to come and trouble your body. He don't wait. He'll show up 20 years ahead of time. And you'll look in the mirror and say, oh, I think I got cancer. The minute you agreed with that thing. See, the temptation came and you agreed with it. My high blood pressure. It might be on me, but it ain't mine. It might give me a hard time, but it's not mine. In the 10th chapter of Acts, Paul went to preach to a very good man named Cornelius. In spite of his goodness, according to Acts 11 and 14, he was not saved. Goodness does not save you. Why was he lost? Or why was he not saved? Simply because he had not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite his sincerity and hunger for God, his experience with God was limited to that of a Jewish proselyte. Now, if you had been in Bible class, I would have paused right here and I would have asked my famous question. What is a proselyte? And since I can't ask you, I'm going to tell you. Is a person other than a Jewish person that's converted to Judaism. So if it's a Greek or whatever nationality they were. But so this man was a converted, he had converted to Judaism. And that's all he was. Jesus Christ had never been preached to him. Remember the scriptures. Listen to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he couldn't have faith until somebody come and taught him about Jesus Christ. You can't, you just don't wake up in the morning and say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a word deposited somewhere in your spirit. I ain't listening to no preacher. He's just a man or woman just like I am. Let me tell you something. You're going to listen to somebody. And when you get down and out, you'll listen to a child. Get sick enough. Get sick enough in your situation. You be asking your children, come and pray for me, honey. Come on, pray for daddy. Come on, pray for mama. Because you remember the scripture that a child's heart is sincere. Yours is all jacked up. Cornelius could not save himself. Only Jesus, the Savior, can save. Remember these scriptures. I got some scriptures to give you. John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. I'm it. John 10, 1 and 2. I am the door of the sheep. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 3, 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, you're not going to be lost. You're already lost. Because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we can see, according to the scriptures, that Cornelius, in spite of his goodness, was lost beyond doubt. I don't care how much good you do, how many alms you give out, how many people you help, how much money you give, how many favors you do. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are lost. You cannot go to heaven on mama's prayers. Mama needed to pray for herself. Amen. I know. Don't be talking about my mama preaching. I don't play that. Don't be talking about. But mama need to pray for herself. And if she was here, she would tell you. I said a little prayer for you, but I had to pray for myself. The Bible tells us to do what? Save who? Y'all got real quiet. But the Bible do say that. Save yourself. Save yourself. Wouldn't it be a shame if everybody you prayed for got saved and you be lost? Yeah. Sad, so sad. When my Jesus come and you won't be ready. We need the Holy Ghost. It is no wonder that the sermon which Peter preached to Cornelius in his house was literally filled from the start to finish with Jesus Christ. Peter knew that only Jesus could save Cornelius, and Cornelius could know him only by faith. That's it. If we don't have faith, we don't have anything. I'm just about finished. The sermon, which began in Acts 10 and 34, was only 10 verses long. The key verse spoke was verse 43. And it contained enough truth to save this, therefore, Christless man. Notice it carefully. To him give all the prophets witnesses, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Cornelius knew his sins were not remitted, for he was a Jewish proselyte, always performing sacrifices to put his sins ahead one more year, waiting for the coming of the Messiah, who had already come. Somebody coming and waiting on God to want to use them, and God is standing by the side and says, sir, I want to use you now. But I can't use you because you don't know me. You know, even sometimes when people pray and they pray in Jesus' name, do you know that sometimes God honors just his name? He don't know them because he said in his word that some going to come in the last day and said, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. That's the word, ain't it? Am I in the word? And he said, you know what he's going to say? Depart from me. But I never knew you. I signed the check. I honored when I signed the check. When the check got to the bank, I made sure it was enough money in there to cover the check. But I didn't know you. I was honoring my name. So many times we get it confused, especially preachers. Preachers get all caught up in themselves. They write their own hype and believe it. They do. Come and send me this and do that and do the other. No, we're servants. That don't mean that we're supposed to be treated badly. I'm not saying that. But we ain't all that, because if the Holy Ghost leave from us, then we become like Samson. When Samson got up to fight the Philistines, he jumped up like he always did. Y'all remember the story? But he didn't realize he had a haircut. He jumped up, shook himself like he always did, ready to box, and then had no power. Samson, the Philistines upon you. I ain't even worried. Peter said, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and he heard, as they heard the word of God, they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cornelius had repented. When he had repented, when he heard the word, he repented. And with repentance came baptism. And with the baptism, as Peter began to preach the word, the Holy Ghost just fell. And the reason it failed is because they believed the word. They took a hold to that word and they believed it. That's what we have to do. So when things come up in our life, we have to remember the word. And we have to speak to situations in our life and tell it, I have authority over you. You don't have authority over me. And we have to let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost remind us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In other words, what I'm going through now, I'm not going to always be going through. I might be on my way out right now. So if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, then what we ought to do like the preacher told us a couple of weeks ago, we need to go back and rejoice. What do you mean rejoice? I'm talking about the joy that we had when we first got the Holy Ghost. We need to go back and visit that joy. That's a rejoice. Take me back when I first believed in that, in all my tests and trials and growing up, but in the joy that I had. Let me tell you about joy. Joy will make you forget that you're even troubled. Want to do it? You'd be pressed on every side. And somebody said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I forgot about all that I was going through, and I'm giving God some praise. That's what the church should be doing. You know why? Because we believe on him as the scripture has said. There's so much in that. Let me tell you something. As the scripture has said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's what the scripture has said. By his stripes I am healed. That's what the scripture have said. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what the scripture has said. So why are we running? They used to sing a song back in Detroit years ago. I beat the devil running and I'm so good. You can't beat no devil running. How can you outrun a spirit? No. I was so glad when the pastor got up and said, don't y'all sing that song no more. I said, amen, preacher. No. We have to believe. I am a believer. Do I have any believers? I am a believer. I believe what the word of God has said concerning Jesus Christ. That I'm in him and he's in me. His word abideth in me. Now, the reason I say so many times that he's in me and I'm in him, because say the word was made flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word what? Was God. Now, if that word is in me, then God is in me, because the word was God or is God. So I have God on the inside. And if I have God on the inside, I'm a nuclear bomb waiting to explode. I have power in my mouth because I believe on him as the scripture has said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Listen, do y'all hear me? Do you hear me this morning? If I have life and death in the power of my tongue, why am I going to choose death when I can choose life? If life and death is in the power of the tongue, I'm going to always choose life, because in life I have joy. I have prosperity. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he heareth me. My faith says I don't have to see him to know that he's there. I want you to know right now that he's sitting right next to you. He's sitting right next to you. He might be saying, hey, Melvin, how you doing? What you need? Have you ever got a phone call from someone and they don't want nothing? And they just say, well, I just called to see how you doing. You know, sometimes we ought to have a little talk with Jesus. And don't tell him all about our troubles. Just say, Jesus, I just called you up to see how you're doing. I called you up to tell you thank you for what you've already done. I thank you, Lord, how you blessed my children. I just call you up to say how thank you for blessing my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I thank you, Lord, for providing a roof over my head. I don't really want nothing. I just want to tell you thank you. I thank you, Lord, for my health and strength. I thank you that I'm clothed in my right mind. I just thank you, Lord, because I believe on your word, as the scripture has said. I thank you, Lord, for the running water with rivers of living water pouring out of my belly. I thank you for the joy. I thank you for the fact that I got a mediator. I thank you, Lord, for your blood that covers me. I thank you, Lord, for you never sleep. I just called you up to say thank you. Oh, glory to God. I just called you up to say thank you. Hallelujah. Ooh, that felt good. don't know about nobody else, but that felt real good. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Believe on that word. I'm not finished. I just stopped because I'm looking at the time. The time said I got 4 minutes. But I just want to just tell you. I was coming back from Detroit on yesterday, and I was thinking about his goodness, and it was all I could do was hold that steering wheel. Nobody knew what was going on in my head. But God is a good God. Anybody remember that song? God is a good God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. If you're here this morning, I gotta close. But if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I want that Holy Ghost that feels like the rivers of living water spewing out of my belly. That's what I want. I want that Holy Ghost that brings joy and not depression. I don't need depression with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? As a matter of fact, with the Holy Ghost, I don't need a nerve pill. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus, that's my nerve pill right there. And all that he has done for me. I just changed my thought pattern. I changed my praise. I changed what I say. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue, and I can have what I say. So I'm going to say what I want according to his word. I'm not going to say that crazy stuff. No. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I want the Holy Ghost. I need somebody to agree with me. Really agree with me. Now, parents, don't send your children up. They've been asleep the whole service. Because I can't agree with them because they don't know what I'm talking about because they missed it. But I'm talking about if you really sincere, as the scripture have said, that I want the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want the evidence of that power that comes with it and the joy that comes with it. Let me see.